Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 15th of November, recording at 9:44 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. It was a quiet day, mostly. The Asian stock markets were mixed, a few more down than up, although China's A share held yesterday's gains, closed a point higher. In Europe, we mostly had declines, but the Swiss market index again closed with a very modest gains. Europe's declines closed off the low. The main weakness was in the morning and early afternoon, and it was largely due to a surge in European bond yields, Italian, Spanish, and quite a few more. Owen's got some good coverage of that in comment. Now, in the Americas, Wall Street was lower initially and then bounced back. Had some reasonable gains, gave up a chunk of them, but still closed to the upside. The S&P was up 6 points to 1257.81. That's up 0.5%. The NASDAQ composite was up a point. And long-dated government bonds, quiet, but in the U.S., they eased off their highs and closed with modest, very small losses, about a point lower on the long bond than the earlier highs. And the U.S. dollar, I've just lost it on my screen. There it is. Yes, the U.S. dollar's a bit firmer in here today, up to 77.93 on the U.S. dollar index. And gold seesawed mostly at lower levels, but is trading a dollar high as I speak at 17.81 and change. Silver up half a dollar. And metals, industrial metals, mostly lower, but copper, U.S. copper at any rate, closed a tiny fraction higher. Crude oil's steady, 99.47 for the WTI, and 112.47 for the Brent. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I mentioned those European bond yields. Now, it's to Wall Street's credit in terms of relative strength that it managed to close on the upside today, because I think the bond yields will worry people in Europe, unless they fall back for some reason tomorrow. You never know. And here they've been moving around quite actively, as you've seen. But they certainly headed in the wrong direction here today. And people have, of course, worked out that the European Financial Stability Facility hasn't got all that much more cash to play with, so they're going to have to come up with some additional money. And Owen's written about how the ECB has been borrowing that'll be at a no interest rate, virtually borrowing dollars from the Fed to use. And I think really, there's a very good possibility, a probability, and a need even, I think, for the Bundesbank for Germany to sanction some monetary printing by the ECB. They don't have to go mad, but you've got this big deflationary problem. There should be some. And they can also put a fixed time limit on that. But there we are. It's not Austrian school, but if you're determined to hold the euro together, and that's what they seem to be, then you've got to come up with a little more here. Okay, where does this leave stock markets? Well, range bound for the most part, and but again, Wall Street's relative performance is certainly a positive. The NASDAQ 100 is up near the higher side of its range, which has rebuffed rallies all year. Obviously, an upward break would, were it sustained, would be hugely significant in terms of overall market psychology. I think that's going to happen. And that could even happen before the end of the year, but that would really require, I think, a little more calm regarding regarding Europe. Overall, in here, there's not a whole heck of a lot going on, which is a little bit frustrating because it makes it harder to find decent trades. And markets aren't weak enough to be providing screaming buying opportunities or strong enough to provide optimum moments for taking profits. So we have to be a little bit patient here, but then the drama will return, because sideways trading ranges usually lead to significant breakouts. Now, in the inflation-deflation debate, which has been going on for years and years and years, just I was reading more about it, so again, it helps to get me to think through my own thoughts. But I've often said, you know, that you can get both simultaneously. For instance, any kind of debt deleveraging process is going to be deflationary, and we see that. We have deflation in wages, deflation in standards of living, but we also have food price inflation, particularly in the growth economies. But you see that pretty well everywhere. And then you've got the Fed and the Bank of England, which are just printing money. Now, if you go on printing money, it is absolutely 100% inevitable that you're going to produce inflation. And so we've got UK inflation up above 5% currently. Bank of England keeps saying it's only temporary and will go back down. But it's also been saying that for the last 3 years. And I don't doubt that we'll get a downward blip in there somewhere, but the point is that wages are not going up, but the cost of living is. And that's something we're going to experience throughout the West, I think, for a good deal longer. It's not the end of the world by any means. I think that with a bit of inspired leadership, well, hey, it's got to happen at some stage. Europe can muddle through over the next decade. The U.S. autonomies, meanwhile, you got even got Warren Buffett buying another one of those with his big IBM purchase. That was announced yesterday. But those companies are doing exceptionally well. Valuations aren't bad. Monetary policy conditions are a tailwind in the West, and the headwind is dying out here in the East. And it's certainly not a full-blown stimulus package, and it's unlikely to be. While crude oil is knocking around at relatively high levels, but some moderation in that tight monetary policy is underway. Although all countries don't do it at the same time, India looks like being the laggard, as I've said before, in terms of that action. What else to mention here? Industrial metals certainly aren't providing any inflation at this stage. Some of them are down in areas not far from where previous support was encountered, but they're still within medium-term downtrends. Gold, good performance here today. Overall, I mentioned that it was ranging, mostly below yesterday's close, seesawing, I think is the term I used. But I feel overall it's consolidating above its rising 200-day moving average. It's got a better chart pattern than silver or platinum or palladium. The latter two have overhanging top formations. Well, silver does a little bit as well. So gold, excuse me, has by far the best pattern right now in precious metals, and I'm also referring to the US dollar chart, and the US dollar has been steady in here. It's actually appreciated a bit against most currencies, certainly since the end of September period. So again, gold holding up reasonably well against that background. And of course, at Fuller Money, we see no evidence that this secular bull market is over. It's in a support building phase prior to new highs, in my view. And on that note, all the best to all of you.